Have your Bibles this morning. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. I want us to take just a minute this morning, see how that can apply to our lives today. You'll notice, if you would, the crowd longed to be with Jesus because they'd seen his miracles. Look, if you would, in chapter number 4. This is John, chapter number 4. And notice, if you would, in verse 42, he said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." So this is the day that Jesus gets a hold of the woman at the well. And her whole life has changed. She's been born again, and the men of the city and the people of the city said, "Wow, we've heard him for ourselves." And so his teaching overwhelmed our heart. And notice, if you would, and then chapter 4, verse 46, then Jesus came into Cana of Galilee. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 47, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son. So a nobleman has a son that's very ill. And the nobleman, verse 49, said unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus, I've seen your miracle-working hand, and I need you to come to my house. My son is dying." In verse 50, and Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. In verse 53, verse 52, then inquired he of the hour when he began to amend. He gets back home and says, "When did he get better?" Because he realized he was whole again. "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was the same hour which Jesus said, "Thy son liveth." So time after time, the next chapter, look at chapter 5, in verse number 7, the impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the water. When it stirred, I need your help." And Jesus, verse 8, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole. Now, people were watching these miracles and hearing about it. And the word spread everywhere. So then you'll notice in chapter number 6 and verse number 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias, and verse 2, and a great multitude followed him. Why? They longed for Jesus. They longed for some of them to be healed. And the Bible says he healed everyone. And then you'll notice they long for his teaching. I hope we today can long for the teaching of God's word. Lord, help me to sit at your feet and learn. Now, they sat on a mountainside in the grass. And then Jesus looks at them all. And he's going to, now notice, if you would, you might think, why did he feed the 5,000? What was the purpose for feeding the 5,000? Well, I think one thing was to be good to people that had come so far and stayed so long that he just wanted to be good to them, didn't want to send them home empty. And so it was just the goodness of God. But there was a bigger reason. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. And this, in verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Hey, where can we go buy bread that all these people eat? Now, there's 5,000 men, plus women, plus children. There could have been 20, 25,000 people there. And he said, "Where can we go buy food for them?" Well, everybody knew they didn't have money for that. Now, the Lord puts us in impossible situations. In your family, in your health, things at work, financial, mental struggles, emotional struggles, where you're going to need the Lord to do his work in your life, or you're not going to make it well. So you'll notice in verse 6, and this he said to prove them. Now, prove them is the word parazo in the original text, which literally means to test for quality. So the Lord looks at his people, his disciples, and he's got 12 of them there, and he says, "I'm going to test them for quality. See how much progress they have made." So he says, "Where can we buy bread?" Now, Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Notice in verse number 6, for he himself knew what he would do. So the Lord knows the answer every time he looks at you and says, will you trust me? He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. But you and I have to learn the lesson that the disciples did not learn for the most part. Or few people learned the lesson. But these folks longed for Jesus. They longed for his miracle-working power, and who wouldn't? And they longed for free bread, and who wouldn't? Now, they didn't know that he was going to feed them all, but he just did another miracle and just caught them off guard, and they followed him everywhere. Can you imagine the throng of 20, 25,000 people following this one man that has just got miracle-working power, and they're listening. They hear the command, Sermon on the Mount, and they're overwhelmed, and they hear him teach, and his voice goes all over the place like he's got a megaphone, but people heard it. Now notice, if you would, the Savior, they longed for his presence. They longed for what they could get. They longed for his healing and his blessing and his teaching. But Jesus looked to his disciples to test their mettle. And do you understand that the Lord puts us in difficult circumstances and says, I want to test your quality? Every teacher does that. I asked somebody this morning, I came in and said, hey, you're getting ready to go back to school? They said, yeah, getting ready to go back to college. And I said, are you excited? You know what they said? How many of you young people are ready to go back to school tomorrow? I see one lonely hand. Do you know what? Nobody likes to be tested for quality. How many of you know what a pop quiz is? Anybody ever taken a pop quiz and your quality was not so hot? Anybody? You know what? This is a pop quiz. He looks at his disciples and says, hey, where can we go buy all this food? Now notice what happens in verse 7. Then Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread. Lord, 2/3 of a year's wages is not enough. Sufficient for them that everyone may take a little. Lord, we could take 200 penny worth. We could take 2/3 of a year's salary. A penny is a day's salary in Scripture. And if we could take 200, you divide 200 into, 365, you get 3/5 of a day of a year. Can you imagine? Probably, if you make $50,000 or $100,000, it could be, $60,000. And they didn't have that money in their bag. And so they looked and said, Lord, if we went out and spent all we had, we couldn't even give them just one. I don't know if everybody can get one bite or not. And the Lord knew what he was going to do. So they're faithless. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8, and one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, well, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? I don't even know why he brought it up. Why in the world would this guy bring up, there's 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and there's 25,000 people sitting out there? I wonder if he said, Jesus might be able to do that. Well, notice, if you would, Jesus knew where they needed to grow. Their faith needed to grow. Now, they had watched the impotent man take up his bed and walk. Wow! They had seen the nobleman's son healed. Wow! They had seen all kinds of things happen. I mean, they had seen the woman at the well come back with all the men of the city, and she was the woman of the world. 5 different husbands and living in sin at the time. And they saw the beam on her face and they saw the difference in her heart and said, wow, look what Jesus can do. But when faced with their own dilemma, where are we going to get enough money to feed 25,000 people? I don't have any clue. Nobody said, Lord, you can do it. Wow. They passed maybe some tests, but they fail this one. The Lord says, I'm going to prove them. I'm going to test their quality. And folks, when the Lord comes to you, he's looking to test our quality, not so that we fail, so that we grow and succeed. This is the year of 2020 vision. I'm praying that you'll open your eyes and see from the Word of God the places where you would fail if God sent a pop quiz to you. And you prepare. Did you know if you prepare for a pop quiz, you can ace it. But you got to prepare. And you prepare every day. You prepare by coming to church. You prepare, Lord, would you talk to him. Lord, would you help me to see? The Bible says, search me, O God. David said, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way with me. So, Lord, I want you to tell me if there's any sin in my life. Lord, I want you to show me where I need to add and grow in my life. Lord, I want you to show me where I can become more like you. So it's take away and add. But the Lord says, I'm going to prove you, test you for quality. And he does that for all of us. This year, 2020, the Lord's going to test everybody in this room for equality to see what you're made of because he wants to use you. Notice, if you would, not only that, his disciples, they lack the faith that they needed to have. Look over, and if you have your Bible, turn to Mark, if you would, Mark chapter 5. I want you to see this, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 6, I'm sorry. And notice this passage. Very sad to me. And I don't want to do this. And I don't want you to do this. I want all of us in this room to pass this test. But I can't make you. You got to want to. Notice, if you would, in verse number, now keep in mind, verse 45, straightway he constrained the disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before the Bethsaida while he sent the people away. So he's fed the 5,000. He's going to send them away. Say, hey, you guys go get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake, and I'll meet you there. And notice, if you would, in verse 46, when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Now, let me tell you what he was praying about. I don't know, but I'm going to assume he went and prayed for them to pass their test. And I guarantee you the God of heaven is pleading and pulling for you to ace your test this 2020. Everybody in this room, we're going to be tested to see if our mettle is there. Tested to see if our quality is rising. And so, how do you raise quality? You get rid of impurities. And you allow the real you to come to the top. Well, the real you is filled out by the Spirit of God. And when you yield to the Holy Spirit, you become more and more pure and more holy and more like the image of Christ. And the Lord says, wow, they're passing the test. Notice, if you would, in the Bible, in verse number 47, and it was come to the ship and was gone in the midst of the sea. It was alone on the land. So he's praying for them, and he's left behind. And he saw them toiling in the rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And so about the fourth watch, he just decides to go to them. He doesn't need a boat. He's the King of Kings. And you'll notice in verse 49, when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Verse 50, he says, last phrase, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. I want you to pass the test. What's the test? I want you to learn to trust me. Folks, everybody in this room, I guarantee you we're going to have our mettle tested. Will you trust the Lord this year, 2020? Will you learn to trust the Lord in the difficult times you face? Young people, will you learn to trust the Lord for the right friends? Will you learn to trust the Lord to help you to do what is right? Mom, dad, at work, will you trust the Lord to help you be a light and a testimony and to do what's right when others don't? To talk right around the water cooler when other people don't? To have that glow about you of the joy of the Lord. Lord, I want to learn to trust you. Well, notice, if you would, in verse number 51, and when he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed. Notice this, in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, why in the world would they be amazed when the wind stopped the second he come into the boat? Why would they be amazed when the waters just ceased to move and the storm stopped? Why didn't one of them say, that's just like Jesus? Don't you remember the impotent man? He said, rise and take up your bed, and he did it. And he said, hey, where are we going to get the money for to feed these 25,000? And I didn't say, Lord, you can do it. I said, Lord, we couldn't feed them all, give them all a bite if we had two-thirds of a year's wages. why did I say that? Notice verse 52. And they for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You know what the word hardened? Parao. Calloused. Now, does anybody know how you get calluses? Spiritual calluses. You're tested and fail. You're tested and fail. You're tested and fail. And you don't get up one day and say, Lord, I'm tired of failing. I want to learn to trust you. So there comes a point in time where you don't see the blessing of the Lord anymore. And I don't want that for anybody in this room this year. I don't want the calluses of failure to cause you to get so hardened you see the miracle hand of God and say, oh, where am I going to get the money for that bill? What am I going to do if I have cancer? What am I going to do if I lose my job? How am I going to fix this family situation? When are we going to learn that we can trust him? That we can trust the King of Kings with our deepest burdens? Will we learn to come to this altar and say, Lord, I don't know how, but I know you fed the 5,000. You can take care of me. Lord, don't let my heart get cold. Lord, don't let my heart get hard. These were the disciples. They saw him every miracle nearly. I mean, they saw the woman with the issue of blood, saw her heal. They saw people. There were some of them there whenever Lazarus was raised from the dead. Why is it that their heart was hardened? Listen, when you don't give credit when the Lord Jesus does something wonderful in your life, you get hardened. When you don't say, Lord, you did it. Folks, how do your teenagers get a cold heart, a hardened heart? When you don't say, son, did you see what God did? Do you see the house he gave us? Do you see the job I got? Do you see the hand of God moving in my life? Do you see the 5,000 fed? Folks, don't get a cold, hard heart. Mom, dad, don't get a hard heart. Your children are going to really struggle if you do. We've got to say, look at the Lord. Look what he did. And number two, we got to say, Lord, thank you. Did you know that 5,000 people got fed? There's no record that one of them came back and said, oh, Lord, thank you. That was delicious. Thank you for not making me walk all the way back with my stomach empty. Why do you think the Lord gave us a little story in Luke 17 where 10 lepers, now, first 25,000 people he fed in a day, nobody said thank you. Got 10 lepers, their whole lives are wrecked and ruined. And 9 of them, they all start running to rejoice in their healings. Only one of them turned around and said, oh Lord, thank you. Everybody in this room has got things from 2019 that you'd be on your face before God and saying, Lord, thank you. But if you don't praise him, give him the credit, and you don't thank him, your heart will go hard. You do it over and over again, that's why you get calluses. I remember working as a kid growing up, and my dad put me on a shovel. And how many know what a shovel is? Okay. If you don't, see me after church. I'll help you with it, okay? And so my dad put me on the end of that shovel, and you start digging holes. And I found out real quick that things happen with your hands. And, you know, and I didn't know to use gloves. And so I had these blisters on my hands. I said, man, that hurts. He said, it'll get better. You'll get calluses. So you get used to using that shovel handle, and man, you're digging a hole, and man, you're digging a ditch, and you get used to it, and you get used to it. Sure enough, it wasn't long. I didn't need gloves. I mean, I could pick up cast iron pipe, and it's 100 degrees outside, and that pipe is just boiling hot, and I could reach down there. Now, it's better to use gloves, but every once in a while, you'd forget it and grab hold of that thing. Oh, man, it's hot, and you take it over there, and I look at it and say, wow, my hand's not bubbling. Calluses. But it's not a good thing when God gives us a simple test and we don't see his hand of blessing in our life. And we don't sit down and say, Lord, thank you. You'll get calluses. How many of you had new children this year? The Lord gave you a little one. Or last year? Lord, thank you. Lord, it's of you. How many of you got a new job or you got good information, you got new health? Look, folks, we want to be like the 5,000. I'm gonna long to be around Jesus and his teaching, but you can't be like the disciples and look at it and say, the Lord's looking to see if you're gonna learn the lesson. And if you lack faith, we're not gonna see it. You'll notice their heart was hardened because he looked at him and says, where's your faith? Folks, the last thing you got to understand is faith is the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11. We see the hand of God and we trust him. We just know he's there. Faith is required. Without faith, Hebrews 11, it is impossible to please the Lord. One of the lessons he's trying to get all of us to learn in this room in 2020 is, will you trust me? Will you have faith in me to answer your prayers? Will you have faith in me that I can do anything? Will you come to me and lay at the altar and say, Lord, I don't know how to solve this, but you do. Will you lift him up with your trust in him? The nobleman, he said, I've seen him and I've heard the stories. If I can get to him, he can heal my little boy. So he goes and finds him. And he says, Lord, would you come heal my son? Natural. Would you come to my house and see him and heal him? And Jesus said, go your way. He's okay. And his faith was strong enough to say, okay. And he turned and went his way. I guarantee you, he went home lickety-split to get to his house to see if his son was okay. But feeling like he was, but not sure. His faith was just a little bit of faith. And you know what? I look at it. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, back to John chapter 6. And I see a little bit of faith. Now watch this. I see a little bit of faith. Philip, this is John chapter 6 and verse number 7. Peter answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of the disciples, Andrew. Now, why did God put Andrew's name in here? Because I think he had just a little bit of faith, but he wasn't sure. And so there is a lad in verse 9, which has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? He brought it up. It might be possible, but nah. You know, maybe you're like Andrew. I think the Lord could do it, but probably not. Elevate to, I believe he can. Pass the test. Don't get calluses. Notice, if you would, in verse number 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is a truth that prophet that should come into the world. some did believe and they were saved. Some did put their faith and trust that this is the Messiah. Some did say, this is him. This is the Messiah, the one that God said he was going to send. This is him. But then you'll notice they failed the test right after this when he went to the ship. Their faith was little, but God blessed them. Now, I just want you to understand today that everybody in this room, God still answers prayer today. He does. But you and I have to trust him. We have to exercise a little bit of faith. You know, how many of you are praying for Robin this week? I mean, last week. She had all of her tests on Monday and Tuesday, and that's a pretty significant bunch of tests for all day, a couple days, going from place to place and doing those. That's really kind of exhausting. And then skip a day, and then you have your chemo treatments. But I just want you to understand that she gives in on Friday. Now, I'm going to be frank with you. I thought the Lord was going to give her a good word. Lord, it's just like you to say, I got this. But I guarantee you, John and Robin, oh, Lord. Now, it's not me in the firing line. But we've been praying for Robin for 12 years. She ought to be in heaven by now. I mean, she's married to John, probably like to be in heaven. I don't know, you know. I know she started out with one cancer, went to bone cancer, went through all of her body, went to brain cancer, and then they got rid of all that, and they came back to brain cancer again, and then they got rid of that, and now we're in the process of, Lord, we can't do anything else but trust you. But the word came back clear. And so, you know, I asked this morning, I said, well, what did the doctor say? Well, she's not on any chart that we have. You know why? Because there's a God in heaven that hears our prayers. There's a God in heaven that says, I can do this. I don't know of anybody else that's had all these cancers and brain cancer twice and still here. Sitting in church this morning. So if you want to know if God can feed the 5,000, look on the front row. If you want to know if God can help you with your job, look on the front row. Folks, there's a God in heaven that says, I can do anything if you'll trust me. Now listen. How much faith does it take for God to answer? Faith as a grain of mustard seed. How many have ever seen a mustard seed? You know, it's so small that if you looked at it and breathed, it would blow it out of your hand. God doesn't say, you got to make 100 plus bonus points, 105 to pass the test. Oh, he'd like that. But he said, if you'll just use a little faith. Lord, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I'm sure that Judas looked at him and said, are you stupid? Are you crazy? Look here, there are 25,000 people and you bring up two 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But the thought entered Andrew's mind, maybe. Let's elevate the maybe to, I think he can. Lord, I'm going to trust you. Lord, I'm going to look back and give you the credit for this blessing and this blessing and this blessing. And Lord, I'm going to thank you for it. And one more step, Lord, I'm going to have faith that you can do it again. Will you pass the test this year? Or will you develop a hardness that your Savior cannot? One is pleasing to the Lord. One, you miss out on a whole lot of blessings. Because the Bible says, prove me now herewith. The Lord says, He said, look, now we can look at him and say, Lord, you're going to prove us. You're going to test for quality. And he used the same exact word. And that's in Hebrew. He used the same exact word. And he says, you prove me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. Will we make a clear vision and say, I know he can do it. I'm going to trust him. Today, will you have faith? Will you take the problem that you're facing? If you got a burden today, would you take it and bring it down to this altar and say, Lord, could I just ask you to help me? Help me to trust you in whatever you do. But Lord, I know you can do it. And I'll give you the praise and the credit for it. Lord, if we went and got 200 pennyworth, it wouldn't be enough to give everybody one bite. Well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they believed. So where are we? It can't be done. Maybe. Oh, I'm going to trust him. Where are you today? Would you come and say, I'm going to pass the test of quality when he proves me? Remember, he said the whole feeding of the 5,000 was to prove them. Today, God's going to work in your life this year. Will you pass the test? Let's bow our head for a word of prayer this morning. Now, folks, today, if your head's bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you say this, Pastor, if I died today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I don't know that. But I'd sure like to know. Could you come to me this morning and let me help you get it settled for all eternity? Because you can have the gift of eternal life this morning. I can't give it to you, but Jesus Christ can. And he can give it to you this morning. And eternal life lasts forever. Would you come get it from him this morning? Would you say, Lord, I need you to forgive me of my sin. Lord, I need to be saved. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know I've trusted Christ as my Savior. But I'm like the disciples. I've developed a little bit of a callousness. I'm afraid God can't do it. How many of you are carrying a burden this morning? The Lord's given you a burden. Would you raise your hand? Let me see it. All of the building. Raise it up. All of the building. All of the building. Lord, I got something that's weighing me down. Maybe it's business. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's health. Okay, you can put them down. Why don't you come to this altar? Look, forget anybody else that's in the room. Start 2020 right. Lord, it's me. I'm going to trust you this year. Lord Jesus, you see our hearts. Could you help us to have the courage to forget anybody else that's in the room? Just come and meet with you. Lord, please protect our people from callousness, a hard heart. When we see your hand so many times, because, Lord, the result is we'll never prove you and enjoy the blessings as they're poured out of heaven. In your name we pray. Amen.